contacted me, I was like, I stopped the minute. I'm like, Lord, you know, I really probably don't need to do this, but I felt it was the right thing, mostly just out of my love and admiration for Brian and Anna. You have been blessed to have them here, and I'm sure you are well aware of that, but I'm so proud of them stepping out and taking risks and following God. And, you know, sometimes we meet people in life. I've been doing ministry a very long time, and it's been a lot of fun seeing people, like God bring people into my life. And you're like, some days being like, I don't know, God needs to help you because you're a mess. And then, you know, you see them later and you're like, okay, it was worth it. It was worth it. Some people, you're still scratching your head, God, I still need to help. But but there's so many that I see that. And getting to do a discipleship program for a very long time and pouring into young people, it's so awesome to see where they are now. There are times, like, I've doubted. I'm like, okay, God, why am I doing this again? But he reminds me, Carla, you get a piece of every person that's out. We have missionaries now that are in different countries pouring out their life. We have youth pastors. We now have, at this point, we've been in the game long enough, we have senior pastors, like, just all different walks of life. We have people who are just loving Jesus right where they are, volunteering on a regular basis, raising their families to love Jesus. And man, it's so awesome to see. It's so worth it. And I'm really honored to be here. I have never, I can't say never, I have been to Walmart here. And I didn't figure that out until today. My husband is very sweet. Lee and I have done ministry together for all of our married life and even before we were married. But we actually did a wedding in Hannibal, Missouri, for one of our master's girls back in the day. And Lee was needing some stuff for Christmas decorating. And so we stopped at every Walmart from Hannibal all the way back to Kansas City. And that's how I recognized when I got here, hey, I've been to the Walmart here because of Hannibal. So we stopped here just one time. And I want you to know I'm really honored to be here. I am a small town girl. I know I've lived in Kansas City a long time, but I grew up in southern Idaho. Yes, it's the great potato state. Way back on the northeast. If you like potatoes, come on. Yes, I'm a potato girl. In the town I grew up in, we had one stoplight. In the town I grew up in. And you all will probably appreciate this a little bit. Here's how directions were. From the stoplight, go about mile and a half north, hang a right at the little wagon wheel there, and like that's how we gave directions. My brother rodeoed, played football, wrestled, all those things. So I am really glad to be here, and thanks for making me feel welcome. Y'all are really kind. I have to hold this really close. I feel like I'm like kissing it. Be weird. Okay. Well, I'm excited. I kept thinking, are there any jokes or anything I can tell you? And I don't want to tell any bad stories on Brian, although I have them. So, I will be kind. I do want to talk with you. And I was laughing as he was saying everything he said. I'm like, well, I didn't have to come. Brian has it all. And I obviously was prepared to talk with students. And I love students. I now have students. And I didn't know this when Michael was talking, that he was your son. I have a Micah who is also a senior in high school. And so we're at that. He's my oldest. And then I have a girl who is 14, and she is a freshman, my daughter, Tierra. And so when I was talking to Michael, I'm like having all these feelings. Senior year is kind of a big deal. How y'all doing? I'm like, I'm not really ready for this, but here we are. Like, okay. I am in awe, though, of how God is using his life. And I want to encourage, first of all, parents here, but also students. If you will just follow Jesus and get a heart for Jesus now, it's so worth it. And you never know where he'll take you. And we're going to hear from Katie in just a little bit. Katie's been interning with me. She's a senior as well. She just got back. She has been interning with me this year. And I say that term intern loosely because here's what our internship looked like. I felt like I wanted to pour into some girls. And I just had to say, hey, here's the time frame I have. do you want to meet me on Thursday and just do whatever I'm doing for the day? And I had two brave girls. I had a girl come on Wednesday and then two brave girls come Thursday. And we have done everything from road trips to hospital visits to answering the phones at the front desk to ironing banners. She ironed our steamed banner with the hot steam. Like, it's just been an adventure. And it's been really fun to watch God work in her life. And again, she's the same age as you, finishing out high school. And I love, on a day like today, how many of you went to see you at the pool? And you were there. You got up early. God bless you all. He's like, no way, because it was before school. I want you to keep your hand up just a minute. I want you to look around. Because all of you who showed up to see you at the pool, you are marked. Can I tell you, you're marked. Because everyone else in your school walked by you. And they noticed that you were there praying this morning. So I'm going to challenge you right out of the get-go, and I want to be funny and tell you jokes, but I just feel like I don't have time for that. I just have a short time. I drove 2 hours here after working all day. I ran a conference earlier this week. This was probably the worst week for me to do this. I was in charge of a conference for the last couple days, and I'm really tired. But when I got here, I said, God, you didn't bring me here by accident. There's someone here that I'm to invest in tonight. And so I just want to say you're marked. And I want to challenge you, will you live out being a follower of Christ? When no one's looking, when it's just you and Jesus, will you be his? Because that will make all the difference. Not asking to be perfect. I think the world is tired of looking at perfect people. They want people who are real, who are passionately pursuing a relationship with Jesus. Doesn't mean you get it all right, but it means you get back up and you keep running after him. And you put off things and distractions. Scripture says it like this in Hebrews, to throw off the weights and sins. Two different things. Weights are not necessarily sins. Weights are things that keep you from running hard after Christ. But you throw off weights and sins so that you can run after Jesus. That's who he's looking for. Tonight I want to talk with you the next few minutes about dominoes and how any dominoes players here? Yeah, she's all in. Yes, dominoes players. I like dominoes. I want to show you real quick. Do we have that video clip? I know this is not really spiritual, but let's play this just real quick.
Than the ones on the show.
There it is, dominoes. How many of you have ever set up a whole dominoes thing and done something like that? Okay, that is pretty elaborate. I want you to notice something. Have you ever seen a package of Domino? No, you haven't. You've seen it Domino's. Because, my friend, there's no, like, one Domino is no fun. Right? I mean, come on, what are you going to do with this guy? You can't set him up and do fun things like we just saw. Domino has a purpose, and his purpose is to impact other dominoes. Just like you. You weren't meant just to be alone. You've been put on this earth with purpose from the Lord Jesus Christ to impact other people. You weren't meant to just be all by yourself. There's a reason God has you, and it's for you to impact other lives. Some scriptures, the word influence, when I thought of Domino's and think about it, I know some of you right now are hungry wishing you had some Domino's pizza, but anytime you see that, it's plural. But Domino's really is about influence. And the word influence means the power to be a compelling force. Do you know that inside you, that you have power to be a compelling force in someone else's life? You have power inside of you to impact someone else. You can have compel their actions, their behaviors, and even their opinions. You have inside of you power to be a compelling force. That's what being a domino is all about, is impacting others. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous choose their friends carefully. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and be destroyed. Does anyone else think that's a very intense scripture? Walk with the wise and you become wise. One great quote says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You become who you hang out with. If you associate with fools, you get in trouble. Anybody been there? You know this to be true. Proverbs 18:24 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. Everything Brian said to you about who's influencing you, that's what I want to talk to you just a moment before we move forward. For you to impact others, first of all, you're impacted by someone. And my first question to you tonight is, who's influencing you? I want you to stop a minute in your life and just, I want you to think, who's influencing you? What friendships do you have around you? What people do you have speaking your life, leaders, whatever it is? I want to encourage you, you need three types of friends. You need a friend who is the empathy friend. They're empathetic. When your heart is broken, they cry with you. That empathetic friend, they feel with you. They're like, I'm so sorry. You're right. He is an absolute jerk. I can't believe he dumped you. You need that friend. That empathetic friend, not only are they sad with you, but they celebrate with you. You got asked to homecoming. It's the best day of my life because you're going to homecoming. You need a friend like that. The empathizer friend who they feel with you. They get it. They get you. And then you need an encouraging friend. You need the empathizer. You need the encouraging friend. You know, the one when you're going out for basketball or cheerleading or whatever that is, they're like, you got this. You can do this. You need a friend who encourages you. So you need an empathizing friend. You need an encouraging friend. But then you need the enforcer friend. You know, the one that's like, uh-uh, you didn't. And there she is right there. Everyone's pointing at you. You need the friend that's like, you have known for weeks that we had see you at the pool today, Taylor. And you're telling me that you just walked by and were like, what are they doing there at the pool? Why are they praying around the school flagpole? You need that friend that says, you are a slacker, Taylor, but we love you.
How many know we need a friend like that, who can be honest with us, who cares about us and loves us enough to speak truth on in our life? Too many of us, we want the empathizer who will cry with us. And you know what? That's good, and we need the moment. There's a moment that you need to get up, put on your big boy pants, and let's go back out in life. Come on. You're going to get over this. So let's start today. Why wait till tomorrow? You need those three types of friendships, every one of you in this room. You need those kinds of influences in your life, people who will empathize with you. Because, yes, when your heart gets broken, it's real. And that's okay. It's okay that it's hard. But then you need someone who believes in you and encourages you, and then someone who enforces it. The enforcer is like, hey, I saw you at the flagpole. You know what? Sometimes I think it's sad that some of the biggest enforcers in our life are people who we don't even walk with. They're people who assume we're Christians because they see us at a flagpole, but then see us later somewhere where we ought not to be. And they're like, wait a minute, I thought you was a Christian. I saw you at the flagpole. We wouldn't have to deal with that by people who don't know us if we had someone in our life like that. And we have to allow it. You have to give permission to someone to be that enforcer in your life. And for some of you, right now, it might be your mom and dad. But I want to encourage you, will you build some friendships like that? Will you give someone permission to keep you accountable for your relationship with God and for living for him and chasing after him? Will you give someone permission to encourage you to run harder after Jesus? That will stand next to you being like, bud, you can do this. We're going to pray again next year. You can come. You're like, I'll be graduated. Hopefully, yes, you will. So we'll come and stand with some other kids and encourage them. Who's influencing you? And then obviously the next question is, who are you influencing? It's the domino effect. You were not made to stand alone. I want to show you a picture real quick. So I'm going to need some volunteers. And Taylor, thank you so much for volunteering and helping me tonight. Do you like this guy? He seems so awesome. Okay, I want to tell you a story. And Taylor, you're just going to be, I couldn't bring all these people with me. They wouldn't fit in my car, first of all, but they wouldn't let me take them from our student ministry either. So I want to tell you, you are right now, Taylor, I'm going to call you Kobe. Okay, we have an amazing young man in our ministry called Kobe. I wanted to bring him. You would love him. The guy is crazy for Jesus, okay? He gave his heart to the Lord in high school. He's now a leader, one of the student leaders within our youth ministry. He's, like, prayed with people and seen them healed. He's seen lots of people come to Jesus. Okay, so Kobe gave his life to Jesus. He's at the high school lunch table, and he just feels the Lord tell him he should go talk to these people about Jesus. So he walks up to the lunchroom table, okay, and he starts telling all these people about Jesus. He goes, do you know that Jesus is real? God is real. And he starts beginning to tell them the gospel story. And he goes, if you guys ever want to go to church with me and just check it out, you're welcome. He said, most of the people at the table just put their head down like he was crazy. But there were two guys at that table named Javier and Brendan. And after everyone else got up from the table, those two guys, one at a time, said, hey, I think I might like to check out your church. Because Brendan's story is this. This is Brendan's story. He looked at Kobe and said, I just last night prayed and said, God, if you're real, I need you to send me a sign. Come on. Okay. So Brendan and Javier come to church. It's not even a spiritual night. It's like the Royals night because we're having some big Royals party because they were doing good that day. So we watch. It's a Royals party. And they, at the Royals party, not even an altar call or anything, just watching the Royals game, hanging out with other Christians, those two guys, Javier and Brendan, because of Kobe's obedience to the Holy Spirit, they gave their lives to Jesus. So I need you to come and just stand. I want you to stand right here behind him. And then Hunter, come stand right behind him too, okay? So you stand on one side of him just right there. And then Hunter, come stand right here, like next to him, okay? So you are Javier, okay, and you're Brendan, okay? Just for tonight. Okay, so that's not the end of the story. So Now these boys start living for Jesus, okay, and loving Jesus, and their friends are like, dude, what is up with you? You're like a totally different person. So now, Javier, I'm making sure I named you right. Okay, Javier starts living for Jesus, and this one kid, Isaac, from school, because of how his life has changed, Isaac is now changed. So I know Isaac is a boy's name, sweetie, but come up. You can come up and help me. So now Javier has impacted Isaac, and Isaac is now following the Lord. True story, by the way, okay? And then Brendan is starting to work now at Chick-fil-A, and he meets all these people at Chick-fil-A. And now I just met this summer two people that because of Brendan's life and because, did he get everything right? No, Brendan has been an idiot some days. Can I just say that out loud? I mean, come on, do you ever have those days you're like, that was stupid, I just shouldn't have done that. We all have moments, right, where he's like, I love Jesus, and he goes, boy, was I stupid. And these people are seeing it, but he gets back up, and he keeps chasing Jesus because Kobe keeps encouraging these guys to love Jesus and discipling them. And so now he has two people. Yeah, come on. You're saying, yeah, no, Carla, don't call me. Yes, please. I want to be up in front of everybody. So now two more people, just stand right here so everybody can see you. Two more people, which are Caleb and Kelly, have now received Jesus Christ as their Savior because, first of all, Kobe's obedience. Taylor Kobe. Kobe Taylor. Hey, that could be like a country star singer. Kobe Taylor. Okay. Look at all these people influenced, okay? And these are just the ones that I've personally met. Okay, but before Kobe Taylor, ever gave his life to Jesus, there was another young man named Luke. Michael Luke. Okay.
What's your middle name?
Lee is my husband's name. Aw. Michael Luke. But his name was Luke. Now, Luke, at the time, was a senior on the football team at the high school. And he just one day invited Kobe. Can you do flips?
No.
Okay. Luke one day invited Kobe to a Bible study. Because Kobe was a punk little freshman who's really smaller than you. And he was on the football team. And Luke said, hey, dude, you should come. We're having a Bible study. And Kobe's like, I don't do Bible study. He goes, what do you do today? Just come on, check it out. And he like pulls him in the locker room into the Bible study. Kobe starts going to the Bible study for a few weeks, gives his heart to Jesus, and then impacts Javier and impacts Brendan, who impacts Kelly and Caleb. And Javier influences Isaac. Dominoes, my friend. So let me ask you this. Who's influencing you? And who are you influencing? Please give up all these handsome and beautiful volunteers. Thank you all. You can go to your seat. Thank you, Hunter. Thank you, Riley. Thank you, Caleb. Dominoes, no good all by themselves, but when they fulfill their purpose, suddenly they change the world around them. But again, it starts with, who are you allowing to influence you? Who are you allowing to influence you? Are you chasing after Jesus? Do you have someone in your life who you let up close, who's coaching you? Saying, buddy, I'm going to tell you, with Brian, there have been some moments that I was in his face, and I'm not going to tell all this business, except for David did say, oh, David, the junior high pastor who he had mentor him. Oh, Brian Harris, who sang love songs to all of my junior high girls. That's what he said. And my words were, at least that's all he did was sing to them. Thank you, Jesus. There have been some moments, let me tell you, I'm so proud of him, but there were some more moments that were like, Brian, stop being stupid. Yeah?
Well,
Can I tell you? He was teachable. He was teachable. A good coach, when you will allow someone to come in your life, you want some friendships in you that we talked about, the empathizer, the enforcer, the encourager. But you also need a coach who can get in your face and be like, mm-mm, buddy, you're better than that. Come on, I can see greatness in you. What are you doing? Stop it. You need somebody who can get in your life and help you along the way. Who are you allowing in? Who are you allowing to influence you? Yes, you need it on a peer level, but I want to encourage you, you need it on a leadership level as well. We all need it. And if you outgrow it, you'll stop growing. If you get to a place where you quit having someone in your life who can speak to you like that, you'll stop growing. You'll stop growing spiritually. You'll just be stagnant. You know why I get to keep doing what I'm doing? It's because I still have voices in my life saying, Car, what are you doing, girl? I have some people who I keep myself accountable to. Do I have to? No, I don't. But I want to keep growing and pursuing Jesus and impacting other lives. The impact that we have on others will flow naturally out of our relationship with Jesus. It's not something we have to put on. It's something we live just out of our love and our relationship with Jesus. I'm going to ask Katie to come in. I asked her on the way here. I said, Katie, if I asked you about who's someone that has influenced you, who would you say? I want you to talk about the first one because that was real and with the drama.
Hi, I'm Katie. So I had a friend of mine that, in a sense, actually saved my life, which was pretty amazing. And there was, a couple years ago, there was about 11 months that I had a really, really rough time with depression and things like that before God healed me. And this friend of mine, one day I went up to her, and I didn't even know her very well, and I said, hey, can I talk to you? And she was only a couple years older than me, but she said, yeah, sure. So we actually went out, and I just went shopping with her, went running errands, and I opened up to her, started telling her about what was going on. And she was just a really amazing friend to me. She didn't even really do anything. She wasn't like a trained pastor or leader or anything. She was just a normal girl that danced for a living and just really, in a sense, saved my life. She stayed with me all 11 months that I was going through all that, and just would let me talk to her, let me vent to her. She would pray for me. She wouldn't, like, tell me I was doing anything wrong, because honestly, at the moment, I wasn't. I was just being really attacked in a lot of different ways, and she would just be there for me, and I could text her anytime, day or night, and say, hey, I need help. I need you to pray for me right now, and she would, and the day that I got healed, the next day I was with her and I said, hey, Kimberly, someone prayed for me and I felt it all leave. And she actually nearly crashed the car she was driving because she was so excited. She's like, praise God. And I said, Kimberly, don't kill us. Like, don't. And she was just with me. And even now to this day, this is about 2 or 3 years later, she is still one of my best friends and still is someone that I know anytime I can talk to, anytime I can just say, hey, I have this going on, I need your help. And I trust her, and it's like, it's amazing, and I'm so, so amazing. I'm immensely blessed that I have her. So, yeah.
I didn't tell her this part, so this is her surprise. I also know some people that Katie has influenced, and so I wanted to talk about that a bit. And you could say, is that kind of hard? Yes. It's a little bit hard to do. But one thing in particular that I want to tell about is an invitation that she got at school.
Okay. So I had this, some people at my, I go to a Christian private school, and some people, the leadership at that school found out that when I grow up, I want to be a pastor. And so they told me, they said, hey, would you be willing to speak at chapel one day? And I was slightly terrified, but I said, okay. And I went and I didn't really know what I was going to talk about a whole lot, but they just said, tell your story. So I told my story, which in short, I told you guys as well. And I spoke for about 20 minutes. And at the end of when I was speaking, I felt God say, hey, give an altar call and let these just ask if anyone wants to be saved. And it's a Christian school. There was probably about the same amount of people here that there were there. And I gave an altar call and I just said, hey, if you want to accept Christ in your life and let him take over fully, just raise your hand. And I had four kids raise their hand out of a group like this size. And I almost started crying. I wasn't expecting anyone to, but I just did. And I was able to pray for those four kids, and they got saved. And then I was able to pray for a lot of other kids for other different things. And after I finished speaking, I had three or four other kids come up to me and just talk to me. And I ended up staying quite a while after chapel that day, just talking and praying with these other kids. And it like totally blew me away. And I actually cried on the way home because I was like, God, I'm just this 18-year-old that loves you and you let me do all this. Like, this is crazy. This is so crazy. So, yeah, that's what happened.
I'm so proud of Katie. She went to Honduras this summer and saw many people healed, like physical healings, just God moving through her life and her obedience. And, you know, I think sometimes when we think of being an influencer, it can be a little bit intimidating because we get these pictures that we have to do these way crazy major things. And that's not true. The story that I told you of Kobe, he was just obedient. Luke was just obedient. It's just walking in obedience and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And here's what I found. The most simple things that we do in life make the biggest impacts on people around us. Each one of you have giftings and talents and abilities. There are people that you sit by in class, at lunch, who just need you to care. Simple things go a long way. And you know, I love the scripture that says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. One guy puts it this way, don't say I'm too young. God's looking for people. Don't say I'm too old. Let's throw off the excuses and just walk in a place of obedience to God so that we can see him do great things. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up praying for revival that we forget that we're supposed to be the one sparking revival. And it starts out of obedience in us. And it's not a hard thing. It's simply being aware of the people around you and caring about them and meeting needs. I'm really proud of my son. He's 17, like Michael. He's a senior. And last year he did something. I was like, you did that? He goes to public school. It's pretty intense situation that he's in. We're in this city. There's about 1,200 kids in his school. Okay? A lot of pressure there, peer pressure. He's surrounded by a lot of stuff. One day, he was just walking through the gym, and there was a kid who was on the drama team. And he said, Mom, he's usually pretty upbeat, but I noticed that he was down, so I just sat by him and said, hey, bud, what's going on? And he said the kid just looked at him like someone slapped him in the face and was like, no one ever stops and asks how I am at this school. And from that, he's been able to talk with him, and he was really just real casual about it and said, hey, I'll be praying for you. And he is, since then, even this year and into the summer, he just checks on him, just walks up, hey, how are you doing? I can't tell you that there's been a great bridge yet, but I'm believing that some point this year, that young man, because of kindness, will come to know Jesus Christ. There's another young man that he played soccer with in elementary and junior high, just played soccer on the recreational team. He kind of didn't talk with them much after that. It wasn't like they were real close friends. They just played soccer, so we knew him. They connected, of all things, video games. God help us all, right? They connected on video game. My son so graciously invited this kid, whose name is Hawk. He invited him to his friend Jacob's birthday party. He goes, hey, I'm going to a birthday party tonight. Why don't you just come? Like, did you ask Jacob if he could come? You might ask. Before inviting other friends. He tells Jacob, hey, I invited this kid. This kid doesn't go to church, doesn't know Jesus, no background here, okay? But I knew him from soccer. And Jacob happened to meet him at school that week before the birthday party. So they invite him to this birthday party, okay? It's a complete setup, guys, okay? They start talking about Jesus. There's other kids there who love Jesus. And he just hangs out with them, playing video games, going playing basketball outside, just hanging out, okay? This summer, my son is in charge of the drama for our VBS, writes the drama. He invites his friend Hawk, who, guys, doesn't even know Jesus yet, right? Okay, he's just been hanging out with him. He says, you need to come hang out with us and be in the drama. So he puts him in the drama, and his whole part in the drama was to sit in a swivel chair and spin around with the Darth Vader cape on. That was his part in the drama. But he had to be at every practice. No, this is a full-on setup because Micah is getting him an environment where he can see that being around Christian people is fun. They don't do any crazy spiritual things. Sure, they pray a little bit for the drama, but it's not a crazy environment. He's just getting him around Christian people, okay? So then he's like, hey, you should come. He's like, that was really fun, like swiveling around in the chair every night for four nights in a row. That was his part. I'm not even mine. I'm like, that's awesome. Anyways, I'm watching my son creatively make a bridge for this kid to walk across to know Jesus. 2 weeks after that, the VBS, they invite the kid to Wednesday night service. Guess who, when they do a salvation altar call, raises his hand, walks forward, and asks Jesus to be Savior and Lord of his life. Okay? Now he comes every Wednesday, and he's plugged in. Little things make the difference. Stopping and noticing who's sitting around you. Who's sitting by themselves at lunch? Who's the kid that nobody wants to care about or take time for? What if you started making a difference in someone's life just simply by taking time to care? Hey, I don't think life as a high school student or junior high student is easy. I think you walk into a spiritual war zone every day that you walk into your public school. I get that. Let me hear you. I get that. I told my son that every day. I prayed for him. I go, you're walking into a spiritual war zone where all hell is against you trying to take you out. I get that. What if you begin to walk in intentionally and say, God, who, as I walk through my school today, can I influence? Can I play a domino effect in their life? Not by preaching at them, but by preaching with my life, the love of Jesus flowing through me. You could change your school. You could change it. One kid at a time. One friend at a time. Tonight, here's my challenge to you. And just before we do this, I'm going to have, could we have someone come to music, whether it's CD or live, however you guys want to do that. I want to read this poem to you, and then I have something for you. This is one of my favorite poems. A girl sent me 1 year. She goes, Carl, this is for you. It says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Do you know why it's important that you allow the right people to influence you so that you can become all that God destined you to be? It's because God wants to free other people and he wants to do it through you. Have you ever been around someone full of joy? That's so contagious, you can't help but catch it yourself. Why can't you be that person who's so contagious with the love of Jesus that people are like, I want to go hang out with this Taylor guy because there's just something different about him. I want to go hang out with Riley. There's something different about Riley. Why not you? Because as you will walk in who God has destined you to be, it will impact other people around you. They'll want what you have. Tonight, here's my challenge to you. I want you, first of all, before you leave, to think about who is influencing you. And I want you, if you know that you're lacking in that area, I want you, before you leave tonight, to think of someone and then and make yourself accountable, whether that's to your leaders here or a really good friend, to get some people in your life that will help you be better in your relationship with Jesus and challenge you to be more than you are today. Here's the other really important piece that I want you to do. Both are important. You have to have those who's influencing you, but who are you influencing? Before you leave today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a domino, and there's dominoes and markers right on this table. I want you to write out three names. And I want you to pray before you do it. Three names of people that you could begin intentionally influencing with the love of Jesus Christ. God, we invite you, we thank you for being here tonight. God, I pray for each person in this room. It's not by accident they're here. God, even the grown-ups, Lord. I've been praying for years, God, for just relationship with my neighbors, that I could impact my neighbors. And God, I thank you that slowly, through things like taking cookies or diapers when they had a baby, God. Lord, just little notes, God, of encouragement on those packages of cookies, God, slowly. God, you've given me open doors to now just this week I get to have lunch with two neighbor ladies who asked me to go to lunch with them, God. Well, that's a big deal. God, and I don't want to take that lightly. God, thank you for giving me courage to be obedient in the small things. God, that it could open their heart's door to you. Have your way in us, Jesus. I'm going to ask as they play music and